We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Let's open up to our foundation text today. Hebrews again, the fourth chapter, verse 12. Judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Amen. We need help with that. Amen. I know I do. Just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Anytime I get excited and I start too soon, I got to remember people got to find the notes and they got to find it in the Bible. So just kind of lift a hand when you're ready and I'll begin at that time. Okay, go ahead. All right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and energized. Living and energized constantly. And sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing or penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge, and always go through that, expose, sift, analyze, determine what is good or bad. What is it able to do? The thoughts, that which we ponder, which we reflect, that which is hidden in the heart, which only God can discern. The word even gets down in there. And intentions, that which we conceive, the conceptions of the heart. The word of God is able to reveal all of that to us in Jesus' name. Our thoughts, our intentions, our motivations, and our desires. And so that is good news. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So finally, after much introduction and reviewing, we are finally going to get to these personality types. And so we'll be getting that today. We're going to go over 9 personality types. This is different. This is real different. So it's going to, you're going to have a little faith in me that I'm hearing from the Lord on this, because this is almost just as getting rid of the toxic sin of racial hatred was almost like a history class. All right, because we had to go through that before we got to. Okay, so this is going to almost sound like a psychology, anthropology class in a sense, because we're going over personalities. So to help you to keep it right and have faith that I'm hearing from God is this. We know God made the sun, or he made the eco cycle, and the water cycle, rather. If I were to break that down, that's not going to necessarily be in here, the deep, breakdown of the solar system and so forth. You follow me? But we know that it's just an explanation of something that God is. So having said that, we know that we went over this before too, that God has given each one of us different personalities. You know, that is a fact. Mm-hmm. Personality comes from a God who has personality, in a sense. Personhood comes from a God who's a person, in a sense. So what we're going to do, and this is trial and error. So when I turn this off, I'm going to ask, like, how did that go? So forth, because this is brand new for me. And so, because what it is you're going to get a lot of information. I mean, we're going to cover one personality, probably two Wednesdays will probably cover one personality. So it's going to be a minute. So you're going to get a lot of information, and we just going to pray that, we're going to hear God, and then if there's whatever needs to be tweaked and so forth, we're going to do that. Okay? So you're going to almost, those of you who got note-taking skills, you got to take notes like you're in college, because to try to get everything worked for beta, we'll be here for 5 hours. Try to get that. You just got to just kind of take notes. And this is where the CD will really come in handy, to just hear it and hear it and hear it. Having said all of that, We're going to go over eventually 9 personality types. These 9 personality types do not capture the whole of a person. Okay? And you could probably argue that there are many more types than these 9. So this is kind of a general. And you could even argue that a person may be a combination of 2, of at least 2 of the personality types, but you'll probably identify yourself more clearly with 1 for sure. But know that that is also a possibility. Most personality tests seek to identify personality traits, okay, like introversion or intuition. But what we want to do with these personality types is to go deeper, looking at the motivation behind the trait. That's the whole thing. That's why judging our thoughts, the intention of our heart. We're not just trying to identify, oh, he's introvert. He's this and that. Nope. Why do I do what I do? Why do I feel that way? We're going over that too. Now, these traits that the personality types will expose are just, I like as they put it in, partial giveaways to what's really going on. Our goal is to get to the root of the situation. Hence, judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. We get to the root of it. I'll say root. Each of these personality types have a redeemed and unredeemed nature. You can tell about yourself, myself, ourselves. There are parts of us that we like. Man, that's not a good, Oh, and there are parts of us that are like right in line with the Word of God. We want to get the parts that are unredeemed in line. Does that make sense? And we want to move, as I have my notes, we want to learn how to move towards the redeemed side. And someone once wrote that most of us are somewhere on the continuum between the two. I mean, we're working on it. And especially those who are in the teaching ministry. Okay, so the first trait, the first one we're going to call, and I have a small A-1. You can either write it out or you can put, A-1. So that's going to be the first one. Again, no particular order. This personality is referred to by a couple of things. The good one, or the reformer. And for once, I'm not writing in tongues. Praise God. Okay, so the identity is the good one or the reformer. Now, what I'm going to do is give you bullet points, and this we just kind of got to take your notes, and this we're going to go from there. So, A1s are conscientious and ethical with a strong sense of right and wrong. That's one bullet point. And actually, take your notes, and then we're going to kind of just paraphrase. We're going to keep it moving. Second bullet point. They are teachers, crusaders, and advocates for change, always striving to improve things, but afraid of making a mistake. Second bullet point. Third bullet point. Well-organized, orderly, fussy, demanding, picky. They try to maintain high standards, but can slip into being critical and perfectionistic. I'm going to repeat that one again. Well-organized, orderly, fussy, demanding, picky. They try to maintain high standards, but can slip into being critical and perfectionistic. That's the third bullet point. The fourth bullet point. They typically have problems with resentment and impatience. Problems with resentment and impatience. And the fifth bullet point. At their best, wise, discerning, realistic, and noble, can be morally heroic. Now, those are five bullet points. It's kind of a general summary about A1s. Now, all right. So the basic fear for an A1 is being corrupt, being evil, or being defective. That's the basic fear. Because remember, if they are the good one or the reformer, then hey, they don't want to be corrupt, want evil, or being defective. That's their basic fear. Their basic desire is to be good, to have integrity, to be balanced. And even all that is still by the grace of God. A key motivation of an A1 is they want to be right, to strive higher and improve everything, to be consistent with their ideals, to justify themselves, to be beyond criticism so as not to be condemned by anyone. They want to be right, strive higher and improve everything, be consistent with their ideals, justify themselves, be beyond criticism so as not to be condemned by anyone. And verses may pop in your head concerning, well, you know, that's the pride, that is this and the other, and we'll get into that. But right now, I'll just give you a general overview. So those are like bullet points. So here's an overview of the type A1. Personality type A1 is referred to as the reformer because they have a sense of mission, in quotes, that leads them to want to improve the world in various ways using whatever degree of influence they have. So they want to improve the world with whatever influence that they have. The reform things. Because they're seeing things as being quote unquote out of shape or not formed properly. And they want to reform things in the world. They strive to overcome adversity, particularly moral adversity, so that they can make a difference. This is why A1s are also referred to as the good ones. They strive after higher values, even at the cost of great personal sacrifice. A1s are people of practical action. They wish to be useful in the best sense of the word. And by the way, as you read these personalities, you can see the image of God in a lot of this. Because you can have a person who's an A1 or a B2 or whatever, who is, remember, there's a quote unquote redeemed side and an unredeemed side, lack of a better term. And in their redeemed side is the image of God. You can see that in that. And then in the unredeemed side, you see their unredeemed part. So you'll just kind of slip in and out of understanding that, yeah, well, I can see that's the grace of God that they even have that, want to reform everything. The fact that you think things are out of shape, that's the grace of God even. If you look at a Gandhi or a King or things of that nature, you know, they do have A1s that are they give you names to who are those types. So they're people of practical action. They wish to be useful in the best sense of the word. On some level of consciousness, they feel that they have a mission to fulfill in life, if only to try their best to reduce the disorder they see in their environment. If nothing else, let me just start right here then. On your job, in your home, in your neighborhood. Well, I'll start a neighborhood watch. You know, they're the ones that'll do things because they see disorder. And so they'll try their best to do that which is useful and to reduce the disorder they see in the environment. Although they have a strong sense of purpose, they also typically feel that they have to justify their actions to themselves and often to others as well. So what I'm going to do, I need to make sure that I explain that to you. Did you understand what I'm doing? Did I understand what I'm doing? And you'll find it like a personality, I think it was 8, I think. Maybe whatever it is, 8. They don't care about nothing of that. You know, they just do. But here they want to be, make sure they justify, well, I got to make sure before I do this. And I've talked to a Word of Lifer who has this exact situation. Exactly. They don't, whatever they do, they gotta make sure they've justified to themselves and to others, or else they just won't do it, or they're afraid to do it. And that can be, and you can see the perversion of the personalities, the facets of these personalities. And so because they have to justify their actions to themselves and others, this orientation causes A1s to spend a lot of time thinking about the consequences of their actions, as well as about how to keep from acting contrary to their convictions. Sometimes we get so frozen because we're trying to just, we think about it. Well, I shouldn't do it. Will I do it? What if I do it? What about the person does that? I see you smiling back there. That's right. You got it. And I'm excuse me for going ahead of myself. That person who has that personality type, hear Holy Spirit. Hear the word, and you do. We don't care if nobody else understands it or not. You follow me? I'm getting ahead of myself because I got a section down there at the bottom what we can do to transition into the reform and use all of this personality type for the Lord. But I'm getting ahead of myself. You don't go and keep fighting. You don't care about other people. If you're doing God's will, you do God's will. Because people are not going to always like what you're doing. We see that all through Scripture. You got family members that have turned their back on you. We don't care about that. But that's a trick of the enemy to take that personality and freeze you from doing what it is the Lord have you do, because you're so hung up on making sure that, hey, I'm a good person. Don't forget all that. Let the Lord lead. Amen. But because they spend so much time thinking about this, about their actions and justifying themselves, it says here to spend a lot of time thinking about the consequence of their actions, as well as about how to keep from acting contrary to their own nature. They have to get past that, but that takes time. Amen. Especially if they're in a habit of doing that. In the effort to stay true to their principles, A1s resist being affected by their instinctual drives, consciously not giving in to them or expressing too freely, meaning that you don't show your feelings. You sort of repress them. Say it again. In the effort to stay true to their principles, A1s resist being affected by their instinctual drives, consciously on purpose, not giving in to them, those drives, or expressing them too freely. I want to know how I feel. I'm going to calm this down. I'm going to keep this in. We tend to not let others see how we feel. You look at you. You had a question, Ms. Harris? No. Okay. The result of doing this, not expressing them too freely, keeping them under wraps, is a personality type that has problems with repression, right? Keeping things, resistance, and aggression. When you consciously don't express too freely because you're so rigid within your personality, then you have problems with repression, which would make sense. You're like, I'm not letting nobody out. Let nobody out or in. Resistance. Hey, man, come on. No, man, I ain't finna do that. Or aggression. And you wonder, like, well, that's a quiet, humble person. Where did that come from? It's in there, underneath. They are usually seen by others as highly self-controlled, even rigid. Although this is not how they experience themselves. Others see them because they are so rigid and repressed and not giving in to them too freely. They seem someone with great discipline. And I'm thinking like, wow, I've seen a lot of people like that I thought was like that. And when they got angry, I was perplexed, because I'm like, why is this? This explains it. They're not greatly disciplined. They are on purpose repressing how they feel and won't express themselves freely. And I'm not talking about somebody being out of control. I'm talking just on a normal thing. it seems to them they are sitting on a cauldron of passions and desires, and they had better, quote unquote, keep the lid on lest they and everyone else around them regret it. When people just explode, well, where did that come from? It was smoldering all the time. You're not made for that. You're not made for that. You're not made like that. That's a perversion of your feelings and your passions and desires. And please don't just think about sexual passions, think about passions. You can be passionate about all kind of stuff. God gave us those things. He put that within us. Satan perverts it, distorts it, misuses it. And that's why you have this underneath. Like, how can a quiet person, she don't ever say that, he don't ever say, well, how did that happen? It was going on all the time. Because that's an unnatural use of what it is that God put inside of you as just being a human being. Personhood, personality, feelings, emotions aren't meant to be repressed. First, they are meant to be kept under control and disciplined, but not necessarily repressed. Were you on purpose of doing this? See, that's a function of pride. I can't, that's, this is going to have to be, I'm trying to get, wait till we get down to the bottom of, Lord, you just leave. Yeah, that's what, that's a function of pride. Then when they do express themselves, like, man, where did that come from? You may be cussing, exploding over everywhere, like, geez, he or she is normally so quiet, so calm, so under control. That's what it appears, even though they don't see themselves as that. Notice how I said that. We see them, but inside, man, they're boiling, seething with anger. You better keep a lid on it. He said, lest them and everyone else regret it. A1s believe that being strict with themselves and eventually becoming perfect will justify them in their own eyes and in the eyes of others. Yes, you're being strict. I'm going to be strict with myself so that I am perfect in all that I do in my eyes and in the eyes of others. That's why we won't say things that are contrary. We don't want to rock the boat. Just want to just everything smooth. But by attempting to create their own brand of perfection, they often create their own personal hell. And that's true, because you can't be perfect. Instead of agreeing with the statement in Genesis, and that's Genesis chapter 1, and that's verse, Genesis 1, and that is verse 31, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Have my notes here. Instead of believing that statement, that God saw what he had created and it was very good, A1s intensely feel, quote, it wasn't. They're obviously has been some mistakes here, end quote. You're so hard on yourself that you won't even allow yourself to believe what God has plainly said in his word. He said it was good. Well, that was for everybody else, but not for me. Obviously, I'm not good. And what group in Jesus' day do A1s come up under? The Pharisees. In the sense of realizing, in a sense of thinking that they must be good within themselves. They're the ones that must be good. No help from God. No, well, God, no, it's on me. What a burden to be up under, to be a perfectionist in a very negative sense, because you're trying to be something that you cannot be. It is literally an impossibility. This orientation makes it difficult for A1s to trust their inner guidance, to trust life. They come to rely heavily on their, now this is a psychological term, superego a learned voice from their childhood to guide them toward the greater good which they so passionately seek. So this learned voice of thinking of, that voice is always telling you, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you're not good enough, you just be this, but that voice that just goes. And we know that that voice that we didn't understand it is really Satan speaking to us. Telling you you're not good enough and you'll never be, but keep working too hard because you want to be accepted by people. When they have gotten completely entranced in their personality, there's little distinction between them and this severe, unforgiving voice. When, and I'm going to say it spiritually, when you have just don't have any power to separate from this, that voice begins to be your, that's where the suicide comes, that's where you're just not happy with yourself, you that spills out to other people, distrusting, all of that happens. Says it again, when they have gotten completely entranced in their personality, there's little distinction between them and this severe, unforgiving voice. Separating from it, the voice, and seeing its genuine strengths and limitations is what growth for an A1 is about. That's what God has got to come in and do that. That's where healing has to take place. Weaknesses. For an A1. Weaknesses. The besetting sin is anger. And the underlying emotion is guilt. Anger and guilt. Well, why anger? Well, because they carry a suppressed anger because nothing is ever good enough, including and especially themselves. They're always finding some negative about themselves. People say, oh, beautiful. You look good in this picture. Yeah, but look at my eyes. Or they look at my hair. Or my teeth are crooked. You know, they just always got, oh, that's a great picture. Yeah, but look at this. I messed up here. They point out, you see nothing. It's weakness. And so there's anger. There's anger. Because nothing is ever good enough, including and especially themselves. This anger is driven by an exaggerated sense of guilt and a feeling of not measuring up, which leads them to be very hard on themselves. I know even the little children, you're like, man, lighten. I probably tell you the little ones. You can see some of that personality in the little ones. You're like, man, lighten up, dude. It is not that serious. How many times you say that? It's not that deep. Just, oh man. Few casual observers, notice that it's casual observers, would suspect how much A1s are suffering from the attacks of their inner critic. This is not only how they tend to relate to themselves, but to God and others through performance and criticism. That's what I talk about the Pharisees. It's through performance and criticism. And so that's how they relate to themselves, and that's how they relate to God and others. It's hard being around somebody who's always critical. So that criticism that they have about them spills over to other people. And this is an A1, their weaknesses. They become critical, perfectionistic. That's their unredeemed self. Strengths of A1. God has given A1s particular gifts that uniquely express his image to the world. When emotionally and spiritually healthy, I'm going to say mature, A1s live with conviction, are bold and courageous, are willing to take a stand and sacrifice themselves for what's right and keep the mission of God's moving forward. They are sensible, responsible, ethical, self-disciplined, just, fair, tolerant of failure, both theirs and others. And that's a great point to get to that point. And accepting of their limitations and losses. Healthy A1s are grace-driven, not guilt-driven. I'll read that again, the strengths. That's a good thing. Grace-driven, not guilt-driven. When emotionally and spiritually healthy, A1s live with conviction, are bold and courageous, are willing to take a stand and sacrifice themselves for what's right, and keep the mission of God moving forward. They are sensible, responsible, ethical, self-disciplined, just, fair, tolerant of failure. Before they were not tolerant of failure at all, but tolerant of failure by the grace of God, both theirs and others, and accepting of their limits and losses. Healthy A1s are grace-driven, not guilt-driven. The lies, and we could probably be many more, but the lies A1 believe that it's not okay to make a mistake and I have to be perfect. Those are the lies. It's not okay to make a mistake. I have to be perfect. Sister Rolanda, by the Holy Spirit, told us, marriage couples too, and church at large, Word of Life, it's okay to not be okay. You're going to make mistakes, period. And knowing that, we must be merciful when others make mistakes, even though at that time we didn't make one. Maybe we didn't on that one, and they did. Well, we don't have the right to jump all over them. Because how many mistakes did you make in other areas? And somebody had mercy on you. It's okay to make a mistake, and you do not have to be perfect. That's a lie. I have to be perfect, and it's not okay to make a mistake. That's the lies one believes, A1s believe. The truth that A1s need, I like that, the truth that they need is they are loved for who they are, not how good they are. And A1 must understand that the truth that they need is they are loved for who they are, not how good they are. That's how you begin to turn that around. I'm loved for who I am, not how good I am. Two minutes, we'll stop there. Okay.